It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Sean Duffy, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, April 1st, 2024. I'm Eben Brown. Israel's military reportedly strikes in Syria, killing high-ranking Iranian officials, among others. The Israelis won't comment, but there is little doubt.
The gloves are off. Israel is in a war that Iran has declared on October 7th, and they are fighting for their lives, not just in Gaza, but on their northern border as well.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Israeli officials, neither in the government nor in the military, will confirm that it was in fact their attack that destroyed a diplomatic building in the Syrian capital of Damascus, where Iranian officials, including top commanders of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, were killed. The U.S. government considers the IRGC a terrorist organization for its smuggling of weapons and cash to groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, among others. Israel's been striking Hezbollah in Lebanon, which has been firing guided missiles into northern Israeli towns for weeks. This has actually been going on for as long as the war with Hamas has been ongoing, even as the Israeli military undertook a risky mission inside Gaza's Shifa hospital, leading to the killing or capturing of hundreds of Hamas fighters. And Israel's used airstrikes to hit terrorist outposts in Syria, too. But a strike Monday on Iran's embassy in Damascus feels like a new step the Israelis are taking against their big enemy in the Middle East, meaning Iran, the country Israel claims is behind all of it.
Iran has multiple fronts underway against Israel. The supreme leader in Iran calls this his ring of fire around Israel.
Rich Goldberg is a senior advisor for the Foundation for Defense of Democracies.
So we concentrate on Gaza and Hamas in the news today post October 7th, but we also have a war going on in the northern areas of Israel coming in, not just from southern Lebanon in Hezbollah, but also from Syria. We saw overnight a drone attack on southern Israel all the way down on the southern coast on Eilat. And that was a drone that was fired not from the Houthis in Yemen, as you would think, coming across the Red Sea, but all the way up in Iraq. And so all of these militias, the IRGC itself, the Revolutionary Guard Corps operating in Syria, they all are partnered with Hezbollah in that northern front to wage war on Israel and try to drive its citizens away from the northern border. 100,000 Israelis evacuated since October 7th. And potentially also fire way beyond northern Israel, covering the entire landscape of the country, projecting the supreme leader's deterrence as he continues to advance the nuclear program. And so with that context, understanding Israel is now trying to fight back against Iran's attempt to normalize a war on its northern border. And those IRGC officials who have apparently come in for meetings, strategy. Obviously, Syria, a main artery of how Iran resupplies Hezbollah into Lebanon. We've seen Israel not hesitate to take strikes, airstrikes against certain targets as Iran has tried to resupply Hezbollah since October 7th. Yeah. And this appears to be a very high value target opportunity with at least one very senior IRGC official. We know from Iranian sources already was in the building. And potentially other IRGC, maybe other Palestinian-related terror groups that are proxies of Iran as well. We'll wait to see what happens there. But remember, Israel isn't just waking up one morning and saying, I'm going to fire into Damascus. These are self-defense strikes against leaders of Iran, terrorists of Iran, who are plotting every day how to commit war, how to commit atrocities against Israel.
What's interesting, I think, to me is that Israel had the intelligence to know where these people were, when they were going to be there, and when to strike. And I think that is perhaps more shocking than the strike itself, that kind of that they knew when and where, and it was deep into Syria, was in their capital city.
Absolutely. I think that obviously the Mossad has incredible intelligence capabilities. when they are able to get intelligence, it then becomes a question of, can you act on the intelligence? Where is the target going to be? Are there constraints on that target? Maybe a few months ago, there would have been a hesitation to have an airstrike in Damascus. There would have been a hesitation to have an airstrike near or in parts of a facility that are also considered by the Iranians to be a diplomatic compound. This is obviously a moment where, in the wake of October 7th, the nonstop attacks coming across the northern border against Israel, the gloves are off. Israel is in a war that Iran has declared on October 7th, and they are fighting for their lives, not just in Gaza, but on their northern border as well. This reflects that reality.
Let's talk about the recent operation that's now winding down at the Shifa Hospital in Gaza. This is, again, I think, another remarkable achievement by the IDF and Israeli intelligence, because while they had already made their initial attacks weeks ago against Shifa Hospital, which turned out to be a base for Hamas operators, coming back some weeks later, they were able to unearth or find hundreds, if not more, high-value Hamas targets hiding in the hospital that may not have been there weeks prior. Did Israel lay a trap here, or how did they get to this point? Because what I think is interesting is that they knew who was going to be there. They knew how to go get them. And from the, at least from the Israeli accounting of it all, patients were not harmed. Medical treatment still seemed to be carried out for those who were there for actual medical treatment, not to mention was augmented by Israeli military medics.
An incredible testament to the moral depravity of Hamas and these terrorists in Gaza. Like a moth to a flame, the minute the IDF leaves the Shifa Hospital after, you mentioned the operations early on, late last year, to clear the hospital, clear the tunnel system of Hamas operatives, to just run back to that same hospital to take a civilian shield once again as a headquarters, and not just low-level people just smuggling in and out. We're talking about high-level officials in Hamas in Gaza, some of their top terror leaders going inside the hospital, using the emergency room, maternity ward, we're told, other areas to operate. And they're not just there by themselves, unarmed. We saw in the recent days of fighting that they had mortars, explosives, a lot of different weapons firing back. The destruction that we're seeing now, the photos of what is left behind as the IDF has concluded its operations, most of that not conducted by the IDF, that was conducted by Hamas, blowing up most of the hospital as they're fighting against the Israelis with all the weapons they've smuggled into the hospital. It's just unbelievable. But yes, to your point, what an incredible intelligence coup for Israel to find out about it. But then what the hubris on the Hamas side is, as they see the international pressure on Israel, they see the UN officials decrying Israel, they see President Biden starting to turn his rhetoric against Israel, and they put a bet down that they could go back to this hospital, hide among civilians, and Israel would be too afraid to have a surprise attack at any point, that they'd have to advertise the intelligence, we know they're there, we want everybody to know they're there, spend a week trying to convince the international community that they have the law on their side, international law of war, to go into the hospital, to take the terrorists out, like what they did last time, which is how all these terrorists escaped, to come back. Because originally, the Israelis didn't just go into the hospital. They said, here's the evidence we have. There's a Hamas headquarters in there. We're going to go in. We want to let you know about it. We want everybody to know so that we're not just raiding a hospital. This time, they didn't take that chance. They didn't say, okay, we're going to advertise that they're in there. We know you're there. We're going to let you escape. They went right in and they took them by surprise.
Yeah.
Surrender, mass surrender of hundreds. Those that didn't want to surrender, now dead. And they're getting just an incredible amount of intelligence from those they're interrogating that were captured during this operation. And hopefully, as they think about the next steps in Khan Yunis in the south and Rafah, the expected operation there, what they're learning now from these Hamas operatives will be a goldmine.
We're speaking with Rich Goldberg of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies on Israel's apparent strike on Iran's embassy in Syria and the way forward in the war against Hamas. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead. Let's talk about Rafah, because if we listen to the rhetoric of the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, it seems that Rafah would be like the last level here, at least in the Gaza phase of what they're expecting to do. The United States has been pushing back on this, saying there will be a humanitarian disaster of epic proportions if in fact, the IDF begins to advance into Rafah. And this has caused some real consternation between the U.S. and Israel. And there was supposed to be an in-person briefing that got canceled because of some comments made by the Biden administration. And now it looks like today there's supposed to be some kind of video chat. What do we expect the Israelis to tell the Biden administration at this point? It doesn't seem that the Israelis would be persuaded from not going into Rafah.
I think the operational objective from the Israelis is not going to change. And by the way, the polling in Israel, 83% supports the IDF going into Rafah.
Yeah.
Because everyone left, right, center in Israel knows you can't defeat Hamas if you don't defeat Hamas. I mean, that's sort of a basic logic here. You actually have to destroy the terrorist organization and its infrastructure where it exists to remove its command and control. And if you leave a big part of where they have fallen back to in place, you're going to leave the command and control in place.
Israel has learned that lesson in the past, I would say.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So what are they open to at this point? From what I can read the tea leaves on in the back and forth, what's leaked out of the White House when the defense minister was here in the past week or so, and in the preview of this teleconference that might take place, there might be choreography that fits within the military objectives for the IDF that is helpful to the Biden administration's own view and its political imperatives that it's identified, which is catering to this radical left-wing base. And so if there's an order to the operation that somehow allows the White House to save face in what it's been telling Israel to not do, that could be taking the border first. Well, you'd need to take the border between Rafah and Egypt if you're looking to actually surround Hamas and prevent any escape paths and get rid of the tunneling that goes underneath Rafah into Egypt, that there might be a different way to evacuate civilians in an orderly process. That was already going to be part of a plan. Right. The Israelis have been calling for evacuations in every major city and helped conduct them until now. This was obviously going to happen there in Rafah as well. And the timeline for Israel to continue having these conversations isn't all that bad from the Israeli perspective, because they're still wrapping up Khan Yunis, the second largest city in Gaza in the south. They're still doing things like the Shifa hospital operation to stabilize the north, where they've seen Hamas try to regain control. And of course, we're still in Ramadan, and the Israelis have tried to avoid any major escalation that would give Iran, Hamas a pretext to launch some sort of a spectacular event at the Temple Mount or in the West Bank. So we're coming up about a little bit over a week away from the end of Ramadan. And I think that's when you'll start seeing the Israelis start moving forward with the various aspects of the Rafah operation. And to the extent they can accommodate the administration on the order of those steps for choreography, that may happen.
All right, Rich Goldberg, senior advisor at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Thank you for being with us once again on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
You bet.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.